Ask the Podcast Coach for April 26, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
We always say we're dancing, and now you can see it. It is Saturday, and welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcasting questions answered live. I am your host today, Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com, and joining me right over there, is the one, the only, Jim Collison from the AverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Greetings, Dave. I wish our Mixler feed was a little bit better this morning for whatever reason. It's because I got really arrogant about how good my stuff was, and then I'm like, switch over to my stuff, Dave, and it didn't work.
Yeah, it's
so Mixler's not great this morning. If head over, if you're listening live on Mixler, head over to the Google Plus page. When we put stay on Mixler for the chat though, because that's where the chat's really good. So just hit the X on the player so it stops playing on Mixler, so you don't get an echo, and then head over to that link for the Google Plus page. We've been putting that in the, and I'll keep updating that in the chat room.
Yeah, it's and of course you can always find us at schoolofpodcasting.com/live or askthepodcastcoach.com/live, either one, and they both have links right to the Google Plus. And this is something I talked about, man, what, months ago. I said it'd be cool if we could do this live as a video and have people call in, which we should mention, if you do want to call in, we would love to hear from you. No question is off limits to a certain extent. 845-262-2401. We'll see if Colin Studio can have 2 weeks in a row without dropping a call. And
we're live. The best place to watch us is on YouTube anyway. So since we went through all this effort to get the video going, you might want to watch over there. We're dropping that in chat. The link's over there in the chat room on Mixler. So stay in Mixler for chat. Watch the video on Google Plus and listen to it that way.
There you go. And again, the phone number is 845-262-2401. Just a thought, when you start thinking about, ooh, I could do this and, oh, I could do that, with every new piece of technology you add a level of, I don't want to say complexity, but it's more T's to cross, more I's to dot. And so we'll see today.
Well, and I think the super important thing in all of this, right, is once you get your setup tested, and this is key, because like you and I, we wake up like 10 minutes before the show, and not really, but... And, you know, you're always messing around with stuff, and so am I, and then you're trying to go live with the stuff, and it's a lot of stress, and it's a lot of pressure if you don't test beforehand. I mean, you can see us, we're a little frantic those few minutes before. It's not a great, I mean, don't do as we do in this case. If you want a better experience, make sure you test it, and then try to leave it, you know, try not to mess around with it. We're getting good reports on Mixler. So you can listen on Mixler too, if you want to. It sounds odd on my side, but maybe that's just because of the way I'm listening to it here. But set it and then forget it. Don't mess with it. Don't monkey with it. Make it, cause it's just, it's just one of those things you don't want to go into, especially a live show. And you don't want to go in frazzled cause things aren't working. You want to be able to, and Dave and I have done enough of these, you know, you get frazzled and then you can kind of shut the frazzledness off and just go right into the show and make it work in most cases. But I think for most podcasters, you don't really want to mess around with that, of having that stress. So I've talked about this before. One, always, if you're going to have a guest and you're going to go live, one, always have a pre-call. So schedule it a couple days before the show. Have a pre-call. Make sure their equipment works. Make sure they're on the right microphone. Make sure that, you know, their camera works well. Make sure they've got ample bandwidth, right? Those kinds of things. That pre-call is gold. You will thank us for that when you're doing guests. Do not, because if you get a guest that's not very tech savvy and then you stress them with all this tech crap, then you try and get them on the show, they're just not going to be very good in most cases.
They're confused. They're too much worried about the technology to relax and just have a conversation.
They get embarrassed too. They feel like they should know more and they shouldn't have to know anything. You should be able to walk them through that and get them set up. I'm doing a couple a week now. And so I do a couple pre-calls every week, and it's a lot of work, but it's that 15 minutes of work that saved me a ton of stress later. And I think you just get better quality out of your guest if you do it that way, and get to know your guest in the pre-call, right? Don't be asking them those questions that you should have known you know, 2 minutes before you're ready to get started, you're finding those things out. That's not great. You know, ask them some questions beforehand and get to know them a little bit. It's a good way to do it.
Yeah, this I think my favorite part of that whole start was Dave, tap your mic.
Well, yeah, and usually I'm the audio Nazi on those things. The one who I can hear that, you know, and I thought, well, maybe it's just that 2100 or maybe it's because of the setup I'm coming through or
no, I was flat out muted. So barely nothing going to you on.
Well, you pulled that mic and my ears stopped bleeding. I mean, it was great. I'm like, oh, Dave's got good sound. So.
Well, hey, yeah, again, if you do want to call in, the phone number is 845-262-2401. We'll talk about anything. We got a couple things that we always have to talk about in the event nobody calls in, but we always love to hear from you. And we started having a conversation a couple weekends ago about, is there too much focus on making money with your podcast? And there was a great post in the Google group, and it was from a guy named Charles Rivers. And he announced, I'm shutting down his podcast. He said, I'm six figures in debt, and I need to focus my energy on projects that are producing income. Once my debt is cleaned up, I'll revisit. That's an interesting point we're going to talk about. And then podcasting takes a lot of work. We all know that's true, and effort. And with holding down a 9-to-5, it's just not possible. And on one hand, I applauded him. I said, you know what? That's great, because we've kind of said, while there's nothing wrong, and yes, you can make money with your podcast, getting into podcasting with the sole intent of making money, maybe not, especially if you're in a situation like that where I need to make money next week, that may not be the best way to go. But I thought that was an interesting post. And there's all sorts of different ways we could go with that post. Jim, you want to chime in?
Yeah, well, it's scary to be six figures in debt, right? Just thinking, that's a tough deal. And I don't think, you know, this is the hard part about podcasting, is I don't think it has to necessarily be all-encompassing, an all-encompassing endeavor that takes all your time. Now, the problem is most of us that go into this, that decide to do podcasting, we get really into it, and it's for me right now with both work and what I'm doing on the side, I'm not doing much more than podcasting, but that's because I'm choosing to do that. That's my choice. I'm coming at it and I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. It's fun. I've weaved it into work and hobby and family and, you know, some of those kinds of things that I'm doing. So I'm enjoying doing it, but it doesn't, I think you can have a podcast. And I think if you have boundaries, Dave, one of the things you do, I think, which is a really good idea, is you set some boundaries in your schedule. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit, because you got into this early. It could be all encompassing for you to talk maybe a little bit about the schedule you've put in place to kind of protect your family from podcasting.
Yeah. My problem is, I mean, the it's a double-edged sword. I love podcasting. I love to hear about it. I love to hear why people podcast and what they're I just get entrenched in it. Cause to me, it's the ultimate training vehicle. It's creative and it's technical. So you have scratched about every itch there is to scratch. And so about 2 years ago, I guess at this point, maybe a little over a year, my wife politely pointed out that once again, I had gone in to check my email. I'll be back in 15 minutes. And for the record, my wife is awesome and very understanding, but there are limits to what humans can put up with. And after about the 80 billionth time of me going in to check my email for 15 minutes and coming out an hour later, she said, you know, you do that a lot. And I'm like, what? She goes, you check your email and I never see you again. And it's always, I'm just going to go in right before dinner. And then I'm begging you to come.
It'll just be a minute.
Yeah. And my problem is, and I still have this issue at times, is just one more thing, just one more little thing. I'm just going to update this page real quick. I'm just going to do that. And then, I do need to send this guy just one other quick email. And it was always one more thing, one more thing, one more thing. And I had to step back and go, you know what? You're right. And as many times as I said, okay, I'm sorry, honey. You know what? You're right. I won't do that anymore. And it's so easy to go one more thing, one more thing, one more thing. And so, she said, have you ever thought of maybe we need to separate work and home, because it just wasn't working. So We happened to look out that where I'm at, I literally, I don't know, two blocks from my house with my wife, there's a little delicatessen, and above it, they have all these little office spaces and dirt cheap. And I went, okay, that sounds cool. I just need a little room. And for me, it helps me when I'm home, I'm home. I put my phone down, I turn off the iPad, and I am home and I'm in complete family mode. That is my, I will say, that is my goal. I do occasionally, I'm not perfect by any means, but that really helped. And actually, to a certain extent, probably saved my marriage. And so what I do is I now say, and we talked about it. She's like, look, how much time do you need to podcast? And I'm like, well, we talked about, you know, weekends are kind of the family time. So she says, look, I like to sleep in on Saturday. You can have Saturday till about 3. And I'm like, perfect. And I said, what about Monday and Thursday? If I do those two dedicated nights for podcasting, and then and she goes, well, okay. And I said, maybe a little on Sunday. She goes, okay, that would work. And we kind of came up with a schedule together. And then we do have the flexible, hey, life happens, and that is Tuesday. I don't plan for things on Tuesday, but if something, you know, if my schedule is full on Monday, Thursday, and Saturday, then I'll throw in a Tuesday. And for the most part, that's about 50-50. And so by doing that, it just, number one, where I used to do it all the time, and I was just kind of, just whatever was in front of me, I jumped on. So now, I basically have, I use a program called Asana. It's A-S-A-N-A. And I go in and I put my to-do list. Like when I get done here today, I'm going to be editing some audio for a client of mine. And then after that, I'm going to record the Crazy Egg podcast. And then I'm going to write the notes for the School of Podcasting. And then I'll actually record that tomorrow morning. And so I have a set to-do list. So when I get here, I am focused and ready to go. So I knew this morning I got here. And I had a note, you know, 9 o'clock start setting up for this show because I wanted to make sure all the technology was going to work and things like that. And I had copied some files that I think I'm going to be talking about for the School of Podcasting. And so I get in and I start working on it. And I don't watch YouTube here. If I watch YouTube, it might be at home while my wife's in the shower, things like that. So it.
You set some limits, right? I think that's the key is to be able to set a schedule limit and say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to do podcasting things on Sunday, or I'm not going to do them on Saturday afternoons. Or there's a marked, there is a moment in my life where you can see when I started podcasting because nothing got done around the house. Things stopped. My project stopped happening. I was tearing down a deck. This is probably the perfect example. We had a pool with a deck around it, and we tore out the pool. We gave the pool away, a little doughboy pool, and I started tearing down the deck. And then I started podcasting and the deck deconstruction stopped, and it sat out there for 4 years. I mean, it just sat in this deconstructed. My neighbors must have hated me. And so last summer, I said, okay, I've got to figure out some ways to get some other things done other than podcasting. And so really started trying to set some boundaries. Ironically, the work podcast started picking up at the same time. And so I've gotten busier than ever. And I'm guilty, but I'm guilty of doing it all the time. I do it a lot. That's the number one question people ask me all the time. How does Sarah put up with that, right? And she, for whatever reason, is okay with the amount of time that I spend. That's us, though. You've got to find that sweet spot. And I would ask questions. I would ask your family questions. I'd ask your significant other questions. Am I doing it too much? Is it too much of a burden? You know, in Charles's case, he's got significant debt, you know, and I misread that question at first. I thought he'd gotten six figures in debt by podcasting. And I was like, whoa.
That's a lot of equipment.
How do you spend that much money doing that?
I bought 50 Hyo Pure 40s.
I know. Yeah, I've got enough room to, you know, to interview a studio or a stadium. But you can, I think, Dave, you can do some podcasting, and it doesn't have to be all consuming. The problem is we all become maximizers in this, and we want to do it better and more. And the other thing I think you're going to do, if you're going to limit your podcasting hours, you have to stop looking at your numbers.
That's it.
They will drive you nuts. Right.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to make some trade-offs, but if you love podcasting, don't quit. Unless you really feel like you really feel convicted that you need to. I mean, I don't want to tell you, if you feel like you need to stop because it's a habit, you can't, well then by all means stop.
There you go. And we actually have some callers, so go ahead.
Let's run it.
And which is weird because it looks like it's almost the same. No, it's not the same number. Here we go. We'll see what happens. So I click on talk and ending in 0564. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, Dave, it's Ron, a.k.a. TGC from Japan Experience Podcast.
Oh, very cool. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, you were not too bad, you know.
And
early in the morning.
Turn him up a smidge, Dave.
Okay, I was going to ask you, Jim, can you hear him?
Turn him up a smidge.
Okay, can you hear him now?
Ron, what's your question?
Can you hear Jim that well?
Okay, I will fix that as well.
He'll adjust it. I think you're good now, Ron. What's your question?
So, Ron, what's your question?
Well, the question is, Dave, why did you go the route of not doing a network broadcast? Because I know with you got Cliff Ravenscraft that has his own course, his own network. You have DJL, as you like to call him, Daniel Day-Lewis. He has his own network. Why didn't you go the network route with your shows?
Why don't I have a network? So where I could have like one website with all of my stuff kind of thing. And at the end, I could say, you know, this part is part of the Jam and Dave network. I guess I could. It just sounded like more work. And really, I actually thought I was going to do it about 6 months ago. I'm like, I need to do that. That would be cool. One place. Because I have had people say, I can't find your stuff. There's too much of it. And many moons back in the day, I had a website. It was Cooler Websites. Was actually the very first podcast. My first podcast was called The Musician's Cooler. And I had coolerwebsites.com. I'm like, you know what? That would be a cool network name. That would kind of tie in because I want something that's, how do you say, it's the technology, health, podcasting, blah, blah, blah thing. And so I'm like, Cooler Websites is generic enough. Okay, though. And then I think I even had Cooler Podcasts for a while. And I went back and now it's some Chinese. I let the domain slip and it goes to some Chinese porn site or something. So. So really right now it's the coming up with a name. I was going to go like I call my training style is edutainment. I'm like, maybe I can do, and I'm like, okay, how do you spell edutainment? No, that's not going to work. So if you can come up with a name for my network, I'll probably do it, but it is going to be a lot of copy and paste because everything's got its own website. It's not like I'm going to say it's the School of Podcasting coming from, you know, Jackson Enterprises Inc. or whatever. Binky and the Wiz. I do own the domain binkyandthewiz.com. There you go. Part of the Binky and the Wiz network. You know what? I might just do that.
Dave, you have an addiction there with URLs. I think that's as I've gotten to know you, you probably own a few too many URLs.
Question, because I wasn't too sure why you were doing it, because I know that you said you're getting your Think Zoom thing that you're doing right now, which is getting your network. Well, over here, we don't have that type of licensing where we have to license our PIN number and everything else.
Yeah, where are you at?
Oh, I'm in Canada.
Okay. Jim, say something and see if I want to make sure he can.
Yeah, Ron, can you hear me now?
Can you hear Ron?
You sound like I can hear him, but he sounds like he's 50 feet away.
Okay.
In a small, huge room.
I'll turn him up some more here.
Let's try that. How about, can you hear me now? Is that any better? Some of it you'll just have to, we're just bland.
So, okay.
Sorry, Ron.
It's always learning new things, right?
That's it.
When something doesn't work.
Awesome. All right. Well, where can we find your podcast at?
Oh, good. Okay, well, because I did the thing like you said, how do I spell it, you know, type of thing, and that's what I ended up doing with my website. But right now we're in the process of moving off of Podomatic. Oh, the headache of Podomatic.
There you go. They are the devil.
Not the devil.
You call them the devil. They used to be good about maybe 4 years ago. They used to actually talk to the people that didn't pay for the service.
Right.
And actually explain why you can't do this and why seriously you can do when you go pay version. But now that they've got rid of half of their service and everything else, they're just going downhill.
Right.
But my site can be found at jrajio.net, which basically spells J Raggio. And Raggio is radio in Japanese.
Ah. This is about Japan. See,
that's
there's
where we went that route.
That's There you go. I was just the chat room.
The fans like that name. So.
There you go. Exactly. Because it's that inside joke thing that I'm like, I didn't get it. But now that I get it, I get it. So there you go. Very cool. Awesome. Ron, thanks so much, man. We're going to go on to our next caller.
Not a problem. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Cool. Awesome. All right. So let's see. Ending in 6224. You're on the air with Dave and Jim. Hopefully. Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Well, if you are the one calling in and you're having difficulty doing that, I'm drop your question.
The caller that's ending in 0904, I'm going to delete you. And if you could call back.
Call back in.
And we'll try that again. But
Dave, while we're waiting for that, let me ask you. I'm getting a little feedback from myself. Let's see. Hold on. 1, 2. All right. So maybe it's just one of those things. Getting all the levels right on something like this is difficult. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so, for the record, call-in studio will not let me delete that caller. It's just I'm having the spinning wheel of death now, which is kind of fun.
Alan says in chat, live is hard, calls, video, multiple people. That's why Dave says not to start your podcasts just using live streaming.
Yeah.
You know what? And if you we make this infinitely more complicated because of this call-in feature. If it was just you and I, this would be a piece of cake.
Yeah.
It's not difficult, but the call-in studio adds an element of complexity to this.
Yeah. And it sounds like, if I get this right, Kathy, are you listening on your phone?
I think she is.
It sounds like we have a few people that are listening on their phone.
Yeah, on her iPhone, is I think what she said early on. Dave, I got a question for you while we're waiting for a caller. So last week, I spent a whole bunch of time. I mentioned this on the program last week that I spent a bunch of time 2 days at a conference, and I did about, I don't know, 12 to 15 interviews while I was at the conference. Session speakers, keynotes, things like that. By the way, great way to get material. If you're in your niche, go to a conference. Buy a booth or see if you can partner with the conference. Oftentimes, this is an avenue I've tried, just go to the conference sponsors, whoever's running the conference, and say, hey, I'd like to do a live booth. I'd like to partner. That's key. I'd like to partner with you because that means free. Right. I'd like to partner with you or reduced booth costs because those booths can be expensive.
Yeah.
And I will be your live stream for the conference if you'll give me access to your session speakers and keynotes. And they might say yes, that might be an intriguing thing for them. And you're going to go in there and do these interviews. You'll produce them and post them to your site, but you'll promote their conference, right? They love that kind of promotion. It might be cheaper for them than buying other spots. So think about that in your particular niche. Find a regional conference. In my case, this was right here in town, so it was pretty easy to do. And I understand I'm talking about a hyper niche idea, but that's an idea. Anyways, I created all this content, Dave. And so I've got these short 20-minute interviews that I did with all these people. They're all tech related. But what kind of advice? So I've got 15 pieces of collateral, right? I've got 15 mm-hmm. interviews in the can, so to speak. And I can release them in a variety of ways, right? I could dump them all at once. I could spread them out. Give me some ideas or from what, as you think as a podcast coach, give me some feedback on what you would like to see me do with these. I mean, what are some options you'd love to see?
The beauty of it is you have tackled one of the hardest things is you have content, right? That's what makes people pod fade is that, oh, I can't find the right stuff. And it takes so long to do interview. You've already done the hard work. You've got the content. What I see a lot of people do here that sometimes can be a not great idea is they will just dump it all at once. And they'll just like, oh, I've done that. I remember once, I forget what I stumbled across, but it was like, oh, I can't wait to tell my friends about this. And I did this marathon show and look, here's this and here's that and here's this and that. And then all of a sudden Monday came and I was like, oh yeah, what am I doing on next week's show? And I was like, oh, bummer. So yeah, that would be the one thing I would say. It's great that you have the content. I don't know if I would just, you know, here's all 15, enjoy. Is it pretty much like evergreen stuff?
No, some of it is, I talked with 3 patent attorneys and we actually talked about this podcast trolling. That wasn't the gist of the conversation, but we talked about this patent troll issue that's going on right now. So some of it's very, very, you know, it's tech stuff and that stuff ages very, very quickly, but not like, you know, I've probably got a month or so to get these things put out. You know, my plan is I'm just going to embed them in a post on my site. Put the video, I'll write up, I'll get bios from them, I'll get links from the people I interviewed, and then I'll post it and send it to the person that that I interviewed, hoping that they'll advertise, right? That they'll send this around to their friends. And then when I'm done, I'm going to package those up for the conference and send that to the conference organizers and say, here's all your videos. Now you guys go and advertise these. That's kind of the plan right now. Anything else I should be thinking about of other ways for promotion on some of these things that I've got?
You could make, and again, it's just more work, but if you have some that are almost like a demo reel, you know, on this show, we interview so-and-so and here's a clip and so-and-so and here's another clip and here's a clip, like make a quick little 1-2 minute promo, you know, find them all at our website, blah, blah, blah. And then so people are like, man, that was, I can't believe they interviewed this guy and that guy and this person. And wow, she was awesome. That kind of thing might be a great little promo, especially now. That's the good news. The bad news is best of shows are quite the pain if you've ever had to do
them. Hard. They take like 8 times longer to do than anything else.
Yeah, because you've got to go back and listen and go, oh, that's good. And then.
Yeah, listen, and then, edit, find that stuff. It's like outtakes, you know, putting together a show of outtakes, because we record, we do a pre-show and a post-show, and a lot of times, because you're not on the program, people loosen up. It's just so dumb. Why don't they just act that way during the show? Or you, even yourself, right? All this pressure that you're recording, and we leave the you know, we leave everything on and then just do this post-show, and sometimes the most hilarious things happen in the post-show. So we make outtakes out of them. Hey, one of the other benefits that I got out of that is what I have here, and you have to be watching the video to see this, but these are business cards from people that I spoke with, right? Okay. And a few of them, I put, get on the podcast, right? Get on my tech podcast. And this is a good for me because I interview these 15 people throughout the day, and they're local. For me, this is really cool. They're local folks. I can kind of, it's like pre-screening. You know, and so at the end of the interview, I'll shut off the mics and say, hey, you're really interesting. I'd love to have you on like once a quarter on my tech podcast. Would you be open to something like that? Almost always they say yes. So last Thursday on my show, I had I interviewed David Washington. He's a Microsoft evangelist out of Minneapolis. I'd met him at a conference. This is the second time he's been on my program. I met him through doing one of these kinds of interviews. So if you're looking for guests, that has been a great way to find them and meet them in person. You know, you're not just sending an email to a company that says, hey, we'd love to interview your CEO. You've met these people before. They have a bond with you. So that's another side benefit to doing these live interviews.
Yeah. We had some questions about our cameras.
Oh yeah.
We're doing video. I know I'm doing a C920. I think that's what you're doing, right?
I am too. And there's a question about why I'm bigger than you. So let me, because you have the Hangout toolbox on and I don't. So you've got the lower thirds going, right? And so I could come over here and let me throw my lower third on. I should probably do that. There we go.
And I believe it matters who talks. Like if you talk now.
Well, now when I talk, I'll be a little bit smaller than I was because that lower third Hangout toolbox piece that I put on there shrinks the video down. This is one of those inside baseball things. But if you're using Google Hangouts and you want full video to come out on the backside, you can't use these lower thirds because these lower thirds automatically force the video into a smaller uh-huh. version or whatever, right? So right now, you and I are the same size. This is particularly important for a guy like Mike Howard who uses XSplit and he grabs the camera size, right? He grabs on the screen, he puts a box around the video so he can grab that for XSplit. If one of your guests is using the toolbox and the other one's not, it will flip these videos. It's terrible. It's just terrible. So I've actually gone away from lower thirds when I'm recording. And on the Gallup side, I actually have a video guy put the lower thirds in post-production. Now, not everybody can do that, but if you're doing a hangout and you're using lower thirds, either everybody has to use them or nobody should use them.
There we go. And Michael is called back. We'll see how this is going to work out again. So, Michael,
hey, Dave.
How are you?
Good. I can hear you fine. Can you
hear me okay?
We can hear you perfect.
Now he's a little quiet on my side.
Oh, awesome. Okay. I'm not sure what happened. Like, I heard the beep, and then there was, like, nothing there at all. And are you using Call-In Studio, by the way?
We are using Call-In Studio today, yes. And so tell us what happened on your end.
This is my first time connecting to Mixlr as well, so I had to, like, quickly create an account to log in and everything. And naturally, when you're on the page, you can hear the audio, you know, that way without interaction beyond text. So I used Skype to call in, so obviously I heard the audio twice. Like, close the Mixlr page out so I could just hear the audio through Skype. I waited till you were done with the last caller. I heard the beep, and then it was absolutely dead silence. So, I was like, hello, hello, kind of thing. And then I finally hung up Skype.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't think...
I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah, Skype shouldn't make a difference. But, you know, we'll see how long you... I've talked to the guys. And for the record, Call-In Studio is very... They are not ignoring the fact that I've said, yeah, we quit using your service. They're like, whoa, hold on. Can you give us recordings? And so I look down and I like my record. I'm like, all right, 41 minutes into this recording, I can say, here's what it is. And I'll definitely be sending them a clip going, here's what happened. And all I did was click on talk. And, you know, you should have been on the air just like we did now. And it's like you said, you heard the beep, but we were getting a whole lot of nothing. And I have not touched a knob. So it's not like, something was going on. But what was your question?
Well, actually, that was one of them, was whether or not you guys were using Call-In Studio.
Yeah.
Because we were thinking about it for a paranormal podcast that we started last October. And we're actually connecting with movie producers and things like that. And they were always asking, well, are you guys taking calls? And I remember you talking about Call-In Studio, but I actually hadn't had a chance to use it. So that might be one little hiccup that I got to take a look at. Another quick question that I had has to do with mobile podcast directories. I'm a big advocate of using Downcast. That's how I subscribe to all of my podcasts. But when I try to do a quick search for two of the three podcasts that we're producing here, Downcast isn't picking it up. Outside of me doing a manual subscribe, is there a way to verify mobile podcast directories, those feeds?
I don't know if there's a way to kind of go out and say, I don't know if they have, what was it again, Downcast?
Yeah, I'm using Downcast primarily. I tried the Apple app as well, which I wasn't real in love with, but.
Yeah, I switched back to Apple after playing with Stitcher for a while, and I'm over at Podcast 411. .com, which is Rob Walsh's he's the VP of podcast relations over at Libsyn. He has a huge list of podcast directories. Yep. And
yeah,
I don't know
through all that too.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a place, like, in the same way that Microsoft has a directory for their Windows 8 app and for the Xbox, there's no way you can link to it. So there's no way to kind of check and see. So I would just contact, I don't know, like, if Downcast has an official website someplace that you can go to and say, can you check and see, you know, if my podcast is in there. I know like TuneIn, some of these you have to, digital podcast. No, Double Twist is another app that you need to say here and manually go in and add it. Cause a lot of apps will just take the back end of iTunes. I'm assuming that's their API, and just pull the podcast from there. So I'm not sure what the deal is with Downcast. So I guess you'd have to contact them and say, is this show here? That's one of the other reasons why I really liked Stitcher, but that I ran into two or three that I would have to contact the podcaster and say, do you know you're not in Stitcher? And they're like, what's a Stitcher? And I'm like, oh, really? Wow, okay. So I would educate them, but it didn't always work. So,
aside from like – I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go right ahead.
I was just going to, one of the tips you've always given is to, subscribe to, obviously, to your own podcast and listen to the audio quality and things like that. But, if there's like four or five popular podcast apps for mobile, I don't know of any other way to verify the feeds are there, other than to subscribe to it. But I've found that it's always a manual process, and
that's why I like Downcast, because, you know, their directory, at least like 90% of the time I can find a podcast. Like I might be listening to something in the car and I'll remember the podcast name, and then I'll try to go into the app and search for it automatically. And 90% of the time it's there, but for some reason with our own, they haven't been showing up, and I just wasn't sure why, or if I was doing something wrong.
Yeah. Are you part of the podcasters? What is it called, Jim? I always get the name wrong.
Which one? Google Plus?
Plus.
Yeah, it's just podcasters.
Yeah, there's a huge...
There's a couple different ones, right?
Yeah. The one that Mike moderates is the one I want to pimp.
That's the technology... Let me go to the...
Yes, I'm on that.
Okay. That, what you can do there is, because that's filled with not only podcasters, but a bunch of geeks. And so you could say, does anybody have this app? And can you let me know? Because that's, unfortunately, that's kind of what you need. Podcasting Technology Resources Group. Yeah, it's a great Google Plus group. And you might be able to go over there and say, I'm trying to verify if my feed is in this app. If anybody's using it, please let me know. Because unfortunately, that's kind of what you need, is somebody using the app. Otherwise, you got to buy all the apps, and that can get a little expensive after a while if you've got to buy 15 different apps to subscribe to your show.
My app list is quite extensive.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay, great. That's pretty much all I wanted to ask. And are you going to be using Mixlr from now on for this particular show? Or
yeah, we've always been using Mixlr. I think next week what I'll do is I'll set up my laptop and it's just going to require that, or I'll troubleshoot why I sent basically a mix minus to Google Hangout. I was going to send my main output, which is what I'm recording, to the line in of my computer. And in theory, that should have worked, but we got this weird echo issue when I did that. So I'll have to troubleshoot it a little bit and see why
I'm I keep doing that. I keep stepping on him. Sorry.
That's all right. It does get, it gets a little tricky now, because if you're on Colin Studio, I'm sure there's a delay between what's coming out of the Google Hangout, not to mention Mixlr. And so we'll see. I like Mixlr. We have a lot of people over there listening, and I love the chat. So this has always been kind of an experiment. So I don't know. You guys can tell us, what does adding, it's two talking heads. Maybe video is not something we really need to do. The only thing I like about it is, it automatically goes on my YouTube page. So there's more content over there. I don't know if it's good content. I guess we'll find out. The first 10 minutes is always entertaining as we tweak things, but I'm going to go in and cut that out. So we'll see.
Well, I like the fact that it does automatic video switching. We were thinking about using Hangouts to do that, but we wanted it to be an open forum. So if somebody wanted to join in, I think you have to add people, don't you? And that gets kind of tedious.
The tricky part is the link that you send somebody is not, it seems very intuitive. At the bottom, there's a button that says links. And when you click on that, none of those links are the link you would actually send to somebody that you wanted to be in the Hangout. That link is the actual URL at the very, if I point my finger, it's this thing up here that you're looking at the top of the page. And it's really long and really, really ugly. And that's what you would
actually... We don't see that, Dave. You see that.
Okay, only I see that. Now that makes sense. And so that's what you have to send to people. And then when they do, they come right in. But there's nothing... When you're starting a Google Hangout, you kind of have to know that one from just trial and error.
You can practice with Google Hangouts.
Right, but that's not like public. In other words, you have to invite, right? It's not just a public link that anybody can, join in, right? I mean, it's not like a stream. Like if you throw a link out for a live stream, anybody that grabbed it could, click that, right?
That could be a mess. Yeah, I would believe so. Jim, have you ever done that by accident?
Yeah. No, you can. The invite link now that you send, that you can grab and send to, like I could send it to you and you could join the Hangout. We could talk. If that gets put out in public, anyone could join from that link, right? So that Google changed that. It used to be you have to invite people using a Google Plus ID into the Hangout, or you could make them public that way. But the live links at the bottom that Dave's talking about, those are view only. So it is a little confusing from that. I would say practice before you do it. Get out there and try it a couple times to make sure you know what you're doing before you get out there.
Now, do you have to have a Google Plus account to be in a Hangout?
Yes.
I'm going to say I figured as much.
Yeah, but it doesn't have – you don't have to – like I can send it to you. As long as you can log into Google Plus, you can get in the Hangout now with this new link. I mean, this was – This is a big change because that link did not exist up until just a couple months ago. You couldn't send a link to somebody to join the Hangout. So when you're bringing in non-tech savvy guests, it changes the game on Hangouts. Yeah. It used to be just impossible because you'd be like, okay, log into your Google Plus account. Now I'm going to circle you and you have to circle me. And then I'm going to send you a request and it's going to pop up. And sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. It was a mess, right? Now, one link, send it to the guest via email. They click on it. They enter the Hangout. They are done, right? Super easy now. Hey, thanks for calling and appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks again.
And Michael, before you leave, where can we find your podcast?
It's www.arrowheadinvestigations.net, so a paranormal podcast. And the show is called Paranormal Investigations. Thanks.
So all about like ghosts and stuff?
Yeah, yep.
Cool.
We do ghost hunting. We also kind of dispel some myths around and talk a little more about the science. And as I said, we've also started to talk to movie producers and try to get an idea of what, you know, inspires them for films and stuff like that.
Very cool. Excellent, man.
Yeah. Cool.
Thanks so much for calling in.
All right. No problem. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hey, there's been some chat about Google Plus, and I think there's been a bunch of misreporting about it too out on the web. I saw an article from TechCrunch that the CEO or the director developer director maybe of Google Plus just left Google, and there's been some questions. Yeah, there's been some questions as of late, and I need to ask Vint. Vint Cerf is a friend of mine and at Google, and I'll need to see if I can get some inside information from him. But I can. So let me hold that because I know we have some callers. So Dave, why don't you, do we got one more?
No, I just okay. I was looking at the clock and was like, wow, but I'm like, we started late.
Oh, yeah. No, I can go a few extra minutes. So can I wrap up this thought real quick?
Yeah, keep going on. This is interesting. I didn't realize this.
Yeah, yeah. So there's been some questions about the you know, Google Plus is dead or it's dying or it's going to go away. Google right now doesn't have any plans to ditch Google Plus. It has over a billion users, right, signed up. Now, some of that was coercion, right? They said you had to use any of their other services, you had to create a Google Plus account. That's what's stopping, right? They're going to stop Google. It's going to stop forcing you to create a Google Plus account to be a part of all their properties. And so that piece is they're realizing, and even Facebook has realized that mega apps or mega, you know, where you tie all your properties together is not a great idea. And I think this coercion, as Mike Phillips says, and I'd agree with that statement, it was a little heavy-handed to get everybody, you know, they desperately want our social signals. And that this forcing was a bad idea, and it has driven some folks away from Google Plus. Now, Google Plus is anything but dead. If you're out there, especially as among podcasters and photographers and tech guys, there's quite a bit of activity out there. Is it at the Facebook levels? No. Is Twitter catching it quickly? Yes. They've got some work to do. But I don't see Google shutting. I think some people thought this was Google Plus is shutting down. Oh, it's done. No, Google has no plans at this point to shut down Google Plus. They are going to make some changes in the way they tie Google Plus in with the rest of their properties. Hangouts has been wildly successful there. I mean, you and I were talking in pre-show. If you ever want to do something interesting, go to the Google Plus Hangout live page where all the Hangouts are listed. It's interesting with some of the stuff that's going on out there. Makes me kind of scared sometimes to have my own video show up in that group of videos that of people that are currently live. But so don't think that Google Plus, they're turning off Google Plus next week. That's, you know, from my understanding, from what I've read, from what I'm seeing, there are some tensions right now in Google going on with Plus, and that's why that the senior guy has left. But I don't think we're just going to see it shut off.
Well, Mike Phillips in the chat room says he forgets the guy's name, but I guess on his Twitter feed he was being a little snarky towards that.
Well, is anybody happy on their way out?
Yeah, usually. Hey, thanks for firing me. That's awesome.
Right. Yeah, you didn't or whatever, right? I'm sure there was a huge disagreement about it. So I don't see them. I see them, if anything, I see it continuing to grow, and I see them maybe making some changes that helps it grow. I, you just don't, you know, you don't turn it off to a billion users. I just don't see that happening. So
yeah, you got that. You climb the mountain, even if they were a lot, you know, if it was 50%, that's still a lot of people. And I know at this point I prefer, I think, Google Plus to Facebook, but it depends. Facebook is different for me. For me, I just use Facebook. In case you've ever wondered, I should probably say this publicly. If you've ever asked to be my friend on Facebook and I ignored you, it's nothing personal. I just use Facebook primarily for watching my great niece and nephew grow up and keeping tabs on my family in Texas and all of the places. So, but that's, I have people that are, because I do have a Facebook group and things like that. And they're like, oh, cool, I'll be Dave's friend. And then he just never does anything. That's, but yeah, Mike Phillips has a great point. Kids are fleeing Facebook in droves. Because of course, did you listen to your mom and dad's music? Heck no. And why would you use what mom and dad used?
Yeah, the most activity on my feed is from my peers at this point. You know, and I've friended my friends, my kids' friends. And
right.
They are posting. My kids do post some out there. So they're not, it's not all the way gone. They're just not living there like they used to. You know what they're doing? They're doing Hangouts like this. They're doing Snapchat. Yeah. They're doing FaceTime. My daughter, who's 16, she's talking to somebody via video all the time now. And that was always a dream of mine as a kid, was to have this idea of, you know, talking, having the picture when you're talking to somebody.
Dick Tracy, man.
Dude, in the 80s, that was cool, right? And it's a reality now. And they're doing these style of Hangouts, I think, when they're talking to each other. They love that video aspect of it. So it's, I still think Facebook's with the 1.2 or 1.3 billion people and the highest amount of traffic that's going on, I think you still have to be on Facebook if you're going to. What's your demographic, right? Let's be honest. The kids are listening to podcasts. My teens and my 20s, they do listen to some podcasts. But they are not, I think the demographic for podcasting is still a little bit older, 30s and 40s maybe, is who are the podcast listeners.
I was always amazed when my stepdaughter was in high school that she would come home from a high school game where she was looking at her friends face to face and they would get on Facebook to talk. And I was like, wow, that's because we would take over McDonald's back in the day when I was in high school.
Yeah, big groups.
Yeah. And
no, they'd rather do it from the comfort of the home. Yeah. Sit in your room and do it. Alan has talked about, you know, the Facebook randomness now, right? The actual stream is worthless. Your stream that you see, you're not seeing everything anymore. Facebook is limiting that.
Right.
They don't limit that in groups. And so groups, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Facebook groups make a great
forums. Yeah. They don't have some of the functionality, but the thing I like, and I finally figured out, that you'll go in to Facebook and you'll see where, you know, they have a number there of how many unread posts you have or whatever, and typically they put those at the top. So if you just go in, everything you've missed is at the top of, is what I understand that to be at this point. So I always go in. I know the School of Podcasting has a private Facebook group, and so I'll always...
It's a great way to do it. I think that's a good place to, because people are there. I just don't think you can rely on your news feed anymore. You've got to either subscribe to pages or subscribe to groups. And that same group functionality, we just talked about it. There's three really strong podcasters groups in Google+. Mike's the one Mike helps moderate with that podcasting technology resources. There is just podcasters out there. And then there's one more. It's not as active. Those two are the ones I follow the most. And they've got some fairly good conversation going on. Although I did mention, you know, somebody the other day said, could somebody explain how RSS works to me? And that, you know, you kind of want to say, could you search a little bit before you post, you know?
It is kind of funny. There's it's the same kind of stuff. It's what microphone are you using? What software are you using? How do I grow my audience? Mm-hmm. Those are some, I thought about doing a show on that. Like, let's just take the top five and let's review them again and things of that nature.
Well, and and then maybe at the end put, hey, we talked about this and put the link, you know, in the, it doesn't matter. Most, you know, that's human nature. People join a group. They're limited on time. They're going to post their question and not spend a lot of time. Ironically, that's the reason why we start these groups is so that we get the answers in one place. And then we don't have to keep asking the same questions over and over again. But that doesn't always work out that way.
It is interesting to to see kind of where people are getting their information in some cases, because they will come in with some eyeball stuff where I'm going to use a Samson Go mic. It's this little clip-on thing. I'm like, where did you hear about that? You know, so it's always interesting to see the different angles that people come at podcasting from, and you're like, I've never heard of that. Okay.
And, well, the other interesting thing is as the podcasting community has come together, it's created these circles, these almost like, let's just call them solar systems in the podcasting universe, right? And you tend to get very focused on your own system. And very quickly, that system gets some rules, and it gets some everybody starts buying the same equipment, using the same stuff, doing things the same way. It gets a little homogenized, let's just say, at that point. It gets a little stale because everybody kind of coagulates into their own system. And you may not be aware there's another solar system somewhere else, a group of podcasters that are doing the exact same thing but have a completely different approach to it. And then when those two groups mix, you're like, wow, this group's been talking about this mic, right? And they've all been using it. But we've been, you know, like our group, the ATR2100, that is the go-to mic, right? That's what we talk about. But not everybody's talking about that mic. So sometimes it's good to cross-pollinate a little bit. Get out of your comfort zone. Meet some folks that you don't normally. And then listen to them when they say things. That's hard for me because I tell you what, I get like with the mics. I'm like, you know, I don't want to talk about mics anymore. I found the one I like. Can we just move on? You know, but it's important to talk about those things because things change.
Well, and sometimes people have just gotten interesting advice, which is always kind of different. Let me see if we can. I'm going to play a clip from the guy's name is Ben Settle. And I might be talking about this podcast in the future. And it's one of those cases. I know, Jim, you hate absolutes when people say this is how you have to podcast. But I'm going to play a clip from this because
by the way, I'm a hypocrite on that because sometimes I see blankets. I'm just gonna say it.
So this is Ben had a guy named John. They never even said really who he was, and he was Ben's podcast consultant. And we might talk about this in a future episode because they were approaching podcasting from a very business standpoint. In other words, if this isn't going to help you grow your business, don't start the podcast. And I get that. But it really came across to a certain extent is if you're not going to make money with a podcast, don't start it. And I think it depends on what make money is, if it's growing your business or if it's just a hobby that I want to make money with. But it was interesting because I'm going to play this clip.
Equipment matters, right? So I say, if you're going to do this, like I said, you got
to. It helps if you turn it up, Dave. Yeah, so they're talking about equipment here.
Equipment matters, right? So I say, if you're going to do this, Like I said, you got to have a budget. You got to be able to invest in some good equipment. So right off the bat, I'm going to tell you AT2020 USB is my microphone. And actually what I started doing, Ben, is now anybody that works with me, anybody that signs up for, actually they have to apply now, but if they make it through, I'm sending them the setup because I want them to have good sound. So AT2020 USB, you want to have a shock mount for that. For some reason, the shock mount makes your voice sound deeper.
Okay, I just want to stop it right there rather than play the whole clip. And especially with Mike Phillips in the chat room, I'm pretty sure he's going to back me up on this one. A shock mount will not affect the sound of a microphone at all. What a shock mount does, since we have cameras here, it's this silver thing right now. So if I move my stand around, in theory, you can't hear anything because it's now in this case, I'm hitting this thing is knocking on stuff. So you'll hear that. But for the most part, it... And if my springs are in good shape, you don't hear a lot of noise. And that's what a shock mount does, is it isolates the microphone. It has nothing to do with the tone. And the only thing I can think of is maybe this guy has a shock mount and he's moving his mouth around the microphone, and that might change that. And then the other thing I wanted to point out is he's recommending a condenser microphone. And by all means, you can use a condenser microphone. But actually, when I listened here in headphones, you can tell he's using a condenser microphone because there's a lot of room noise behind that. So my little new thing is going to be, for some people, I'm going to start doing this because I'm going to hold myself to this standard. If I say something and it's a stat, I'm going to say, and here's where I got that stat, because there are a lot of stats that have been floating around that are not accurate. And then the other one is I'm going to explain why. So in my case, if I say don't use a condenser mic, I'll say because you can have too much background noise. Now, if you're right up on the condenser microphone, you can probably get by with it. But if you back away from it and then turn up your microphone, you're going to have a ton of background noise. But it's interesting how, again, different information coming in from different ballparks. And I'm So, hey, and Jim, I just thought about that as I was listening to that. You just said, I don't want to talk about mics anymore. And then I played a
clip about the mic. Yeah. No, it's okay. We're all good. I mean, there's lots of good chat on there. And, you know, it's, yeah, I'll leave it at that.
And Mike Phillips in the chat room has a website, getbetteraudio.com. I'm putting that on my list of things to check out. And I did check out, I know Mike has mentioned Chirbit, Chirbit.com in the past. And I have played with that. It's an interesting way. If you want to put a player on Facebook, there's no stats. It's free. It's free hosting. How they make their money, by the way, is if you actually share the Chirbit, when your audience goes to listen to it, there's an ad above it. So if you're wondering, like, how does that free thing work? That's why. There's advertising there. But if you're looking to get a player, since we're talking about Facebook earlier, it's a cool little system. I was like, all right, well, I guess that's a way to do that. Because we were talking about SoundCloud and things like that and how it limits you. Chirbit apparently has no limits and has a cool little player if you want to put that on your Facebook page. The only somewhat downside is there's no kind of stats for that. You're not going to see how many people played it, but if all you want is a player on your Facebook page, you can do that. So
I like, for my 2100, I like this little, I bought this studio, my studio, I think it's a 325.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see super small, and it's got a little, right. And it works great. I mean, I did some sound tests on it as well, where I made some noise and then I installed it and then I made the exact same noises. And you can really see the difference in the sound wave between the noises that it makes. And so, and it's like a $13 shock mount. So it was pretty inexpensive and it worked out pretty well. Very similar to what you would normally get with your ATR 2100 or just a regular mic mount from that standpoint. So for me, that worked out pretty well.
That's pretty cool. What was it? You said it was 13 bucks?
Yeah, 13. I think it's called a My Studio 325.
And I
go ahead. So well, you I was going to see each other now.
The good news is, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm back in black. I am back on Amazon.com.
Really?
They actually approved my other account.
It just came back. Oh, okay. So you did it. You did a new account.
Yeah, they didn't approve my old account. I went in and I didn't lie. I said, I used a different email, but I used my name. I used my social security number and I used a different website. But I'm like, I'm not going to try to hide. I'm not going to use a different schwanky. I'm like, nope, I'm still Dave Jackson. Here's my social security number, and signed up. And I just noticed that I earned my first commission. I'm like, well, it must be very working nice. Then.
Very so, nice. Well, I was going to say, speaking of Amazon, if you want to see, I've all the equipment that I buy, I put on my gear page. So if you go out to theaverageguy.tv/gear, everything I use is kind of listed out there.
And it's funny you say that, because that's the link I'm going to use for once I get my new Amazon page set up, because it used to be /Amazon. Well, no more of that. But I'll have a page set up.
I think you're still okay with /Amazon. I'm not
even going to sniff that, man. I'm
not even going to take a chance.
No. Really? You guys can't hear me?
No, it was just really loud out to the.
Oh, that's right. Because I'm doing. See, again, I forget that I'm not sending. And maybe that's what I'll – no, because I – yeah, see? More technology. Yeah, so thanks to everybody.
Again. Try it again.
Thanks to everybody who – oh, that's funny.
It was really loud, and I thought maybe it was just me.
No, that's – again, what's going to you is going to them on the Hangout.
True.
See, I totally forget about this. I got to keep – so, yeah, I can't hear Dave talking. It's just his mouth. Basically, I was just saying thanks to everybody who put up with things like that. Today, as we're playing with Google Hangouts, so we've got three different mixes going on, one for the phone, one for my recording, and one for you guys on Google Plus. So hopefully you guys can hear me now. Yeah. And that was a little oopsie. I'm used to cranking it up for Jim and not even realizing that, oh, yeah, that's everybody can hear that. So
I like the music. I mean, it wouldn't bother me if you played it again. I'm
just But we did run long today because we started long. So so we'll be back here next week with another fun experiment in podcasting live. And thanks everybody as well. And thanks for Michael for calling in and Ron for calling in. And you can find us every Saturday at askthepodcastcoach.com/live and schoolofpodcasting.com/live and find Jim over at theaverageguy.tv. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.